scripture was Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Thank you, Dave. Always feel relaxed when Dave's up here helping me. Anyway, I wanted to point out the reason I chose this song was for two reasons. Number one, the message was incredible. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, our righteousness. But number two, it gives you a live or semi-live viewing of what is going to be in Grants Pass December 6th. So if you want to go see a top-notch Christian choir, band, everything, orchestra, go see them in Grants Pass. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Oh, before we do that, one more thing. At the end, we're going to have a closing song of 290, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, but let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the ability to give a sermon for you, to stand up and witness for you. And I hope that we are blessed from this. Send your Holy Spirit to help and guide me as I go, so that I can give this in a clear fashion that will portray your love for us. In thy holy name, amen. Now, this sermon today, it coincided with the lesson study. I didn't pick it out because of the lesson study. It was a coincidence from a few months ago that I put this together. So, but it happened to be coincidental, but it is something that touched my heart. What is truth? That phrase actually comes from the Bible. Remember that before Jesus was handed over to be scourged and executed, like Susan mentioned, that he was interviewed by Pilate. Pilate was unnerved for a couple reasons. First, he received a letter from his wife that says, "I had a dream, and that man that you are trying right now, he is a just man. Have nothing to do with that just man. Don't do anything to harm him." And secondly, Pilate heard that Jesus was accused of being a king. And Pilate thought, "I'd better find out if he is a king." So Pilate kept interviewing him to try to get something out of him. But Jesus knew his reasons were the wrong reasons. Let's read about this in John 18:37-38. Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, for this cause. I came into the world that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." That was from Jesus. And Pilate, he had become so exasperated with all the different sects and variations of religions in the Roman Empire, and all the battles in Jerusalem between the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes about what is truth, that he, Pilate, said, "What is truth?" And he would not listen to the answer from the one person on the planet that understood truth better than anyone else. He asked the question in a sarcastic way, and then he just walked away from Jesus. How tragic to be in the presence of Jesus and say, "What is truth?" and not to hear the answer. And when he said this, he went out again, and to the Jews he said, "I find no fault in this in him." Jesus was an innocent man, but he should have found out what is truth. Jesus was ready to reveal the truth to anyone that was searching in sincerity. What is the truth? The same question that Pilate threw out is now echoing throughout our culture today. There are so many variations and deviations and perversions of what is truth that we finally have come to the place that in order to coexist, that we will state that there is no absolute truth. And maybe what you believe, what is truth for you, and maybe what I believe is truth for me, and maybe you believe something is good and I believe something is bad for me and good for you. And what we all just need to do is to love and respect each other. That mindset, which has become very prevalent, has and will lead to some very dangerous trends. There was a survey taken that asked, "Is there absolute truth?" This survey was taken in America, and amazingly, 66% of Americans responded, "There is no such thing as absolute truth." Sad. The percentage rose to 72% in the ages between 18 and 25. This survey was done in 1992, and the percentages are over 80% now. People will say, if it is true for them, it is true for them. And if it is true for me, then it is true for me. And so I believe it is true, and we define and create our own truth. That kind of reasoning will send your soul on a self-destructive mode. There are absolutes, and they come from God. There are many books being published that use the devil's tools to teach God's principles. Is that the way you want to learn lessons in life? If you want to teach children about Christ and truth, you should teach in the context, or should you teach in the context of sorcery, wizards, flying brooms, witches, and spells? The subject is on truth, absolute truth, and you want to stay away from all these books and movies to help you find truth. We need to measure the truth by the truth and not by the culture of the world. That's what the devil wants us to do, is go by the culture of the world. Let me ask the question, is there absolute truth? I believe there is. Truth is not relative. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." Someone has said, "Better the ugly truth than a beautiful lie." And some books and fairy tales make the lies beautiful. They make them interesting, and they season them with elements of truth, and that's what makes them easy to sell. In case you're wondering, I'm talking about books like Harry Potter and stuff like that. If I asked you to walk in a straight line to the North Pole, and you were just inches off when you started, by the time you got to the North Pole, you would be hundreds of miles off. If you had two railroad tracks that are 1/4 inch off, after 20 miles, the tracks are hundreds of yards apart. Truth is absolute. You cannot think, "Because I believe something and I am sincere, I am going to heaven." This is especially true among the young people today. They are being told by many voices, "Is the Bible true?" By many voices, that if you believe it, it is true. You may ask someone, "Is the Bible true?" "Yes, it is true." Why do you believe it is true? They will say, because I believe it. Do we make the Bible true? Just does our belief make anything true? No, the Bible is true for other reasons. It is true because it is the absolute truth. It is God's perfect truth. He is the one that determines that there is evidence by which we can measure if it is true. Sincerity does not get you truth. This next story occurred about 2 months after I married this beautiful girl named Barb, who was gentle, polite, and kind. One time during our early marriage years, Barb and I were driving back to medical school in Kansas City, Missouri from Oregon. And in Colorado, we came upon a giant turnoff from one highway to another, and based on my directions and feelings, we were headed the right way to Kansas City. Barb said, "What is the name of the road we are on?" I said, "Highway 25. So she looks on the map and said, "You are going the wrong way." I said sincerely, "Look at the position of the sun. We are headed right." She said, "Look at the map. You are going the wrong way. There is no connection down this highway. Turn around." Well, I felt absolutely secure that I was going the right way. My sincerity was never going to get me to Kansas City, was it? "Turn around!" This remained a good example of what seems right to a man can lead to the wrong direction. Proverbs 14:12, what seems right to a man can lead to the wrong direction. And death is the wrong direction. You need to go by the true guide to make it to heaven. Otherwise, you will not make your destination. For a person to say, "As long as I believe it, that is all that matters." No, no, no. That is not going to cover your sins. The Bible says, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Luke 16:15. There are a number of counterfeits for truth that is out there. The devil is a master counterfeiter. You may say, "As long as there is a battle going on between good and evil, it is okay for a Christian to go see it or read it," and that is what Christians are starting to do. There are many counterfeits for truth. Another case, a majority of people or Christians think that it is okay to live together before marriage. That must mean God thinks it is okay, right? No. There are certain absolutes. You and I cannot get together to vote to change a truth. A truth does not change. The whole purpose of the plan of salvation is to change us to the truth. Popular trends and public opinion tell us that if you don't believe in evolution, you are ignorant. You tell people that you believe in creation and they look at you as if you're crazy. And when they give evolution statements on TV, do they say theory anymore? Or do they now state it like this is an absolute truth? People say, "Well, you got all these scientists and leaders and scholars and doctorates. Do you think you know more than they do?" Yes. Why? Because my source of truth is different from theirs. I believe that I have the absolute truth, source of truth, and that is the Bible. Amen. You need to know what the truth is because the truth is going to set you free. You hear about this relative truth. All sincere religions lead to God. How many of you have heard that? All rivers lead to the ocean. God is going to save everyone, everybody, no matter what their religion is, because if they are sincere and love God, they are all going to get to heaven. That sounds good and pleasing, and there is a thread of truth that misleads people to believe that. It is true that there may be people from many different religions that will be saved, but they are the exception because they believed in all the truth that God had given them. It is not because they were sincere in their beliefs. We don't create our own truth, and you believing something does not make it true. A lot of people believe a lie. The Bible says that in the last days, God will allow believers that in the last days, God will allow believers people to believe a lie because they receive not the love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 11. You may want to write that text down so you can read it through without stumbling. So God will allow them to gag on their own self-delusion, and they will get to a place where they are very sincere in believing a lie. There are lots of counterfeits out there. False facts. A half-truth is very dangerous if you get a hold of the wrong half. What is truth? God's word is truth. There are reasons that I believe that statement. There are scientific evidence that support that the Bible is dependable and accurate truth. More and more research has shown that the Bible is accurate. 2 Samuel 7:28 says, O Lord God, Thou art God, and Thy word is true. Not connected to truth, but related, not connected to truth, not related to truth, they are true. John 17:17 says, Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. If that is clear, say amen. Thy word, God's word, is truth. If you want to measure something that is true, what is the measure or standard that we are to use? Christian leaders, popular trends, majority says, or the word of God? If you use the word of God, is the truth always popular? Does truth sometimes hurt? That is why it is not popular. If you use the word of God, you may find yourself in the minority. God's word is truth. Some people say the Bible is a classic book for certain people that live in a certain geography, and it is true for them. But if you live in the Middle East, the Quran is truth. And if you live in India, Buddha is true, and so on. I'm sorry, that is wrong. The Bible is truth everywhere, for everyone. The Bible truth does not change with time, or location, or culture, or language. It is the same truth for all people. The principles of the Bible are perfectly dependable. The devil does not want us to know that the Bible is the source of truth. Great Controversy, page 51. Satan well knew that the Holy Scriptures would enable men to discern his deceptions and withstand his power. It was by the Word that the Savior of the world had resisted his attacks at every assault. Christ presented the shield of eternal truth, saying, It is written, to every suggestion of the adversary imposed in the wisdom and the power of the Word. In order for Satan to maintain his sway over men and to establish his authority, he must keep them in ignorance of the Scriptures. I wish that we could have a revival in reading the Scriptures. What is truth? Pilate asked. The word is truth. Jesus is truth. That is not just limited to God the Son, but would include God the Father and God the Spirit. Here's what the Bible says. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was filled with truth. John 8:40, "Now Jesus said, 'You seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God.'" Jesus said, "I have only told you the truth." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way," everybody knows that one, "the truth, and the life." Either Jesus was accurate or he was a liar. I started out pointing that the Bible is truth, and now I'm using the Bible to show you that Jesus is truth and he is God. 1 Peter 2:22, speaking of Christ, Peter says, "Who committed no sin, nor there was deceit found in his mouth, only in truth in everything he said." Hebrews 6:18, "It is impossible for God to lie." Just think of that. He cannot lie. When he makes a promise, he's going to do it. That's a guarantee. When God says something, it is always true. 1 John 5:6, "This is him that came by water and blood, even Christ, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth." God the Father is truth, and the Spirit is truth. When you and I want to discover what is the truth, he has given us what the criteria is, the Bible. Prophecy is some of the best evidence that the Bible is 100% truth. No one, no other book can predict the future. The truth liberates. Why is this study so important? Lies do not free, but the truth liberates you. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." There's a little story that helps illustrate this point here. Billy and his sister Betty went to visit their grandparents. And Billy's grandfather gave him a slingshot as a gift. They lived on a farm, and Billy went out into the woods to try out his new slingshot. He tried his best to shoot straight, but after hours of practice shooting, he couldn't hit anything no matter how big the target was. Finally frustrated, he came back to the house, and on his way he saw a flock of Grandpa's ducks waddling around the garden. He looked around. Then he took a shot at one of the ducks, thinking that I can't hit anything anyway. Zing, whack, quack, plop. He hit the duck square in the head, and the duck dropped dead. He was terrified. He went and grabbed the limp duck, and he went and buried it in the garden as quick as he could. He came sheepishly back into the house, and then he saw his sister Betty smirking at him at the screen door. You ever been smirked at by one of your siblings? She had seen the whole thing. He said, "Are you going to say anything?" She said, "Not if you are nice to me." Well, after dinner, Grandma said, "Now, Betty, can you do the dishes?" Betty says, "You know, I really think Billy wants to do the dishes tonight." And he looked at her like she was crazy. And she said, "You remember the duck?" And so he went and started doing the dishes. And the next day morning, Grandma said, "Betty, could you go get the dirty clothes from all the rooms and bring them downstairs?" This reminds me of the farm in Iowa. Everybody sleeps upstairs and you bring your clothes downstairs. Betty said, "I think Billy said he was going to do that." She looked at her brother and said, "You remember the duck?" And this went on for a couple of days, where everything she was supposed to do, picking up the eggs, milking the cows, and all that farm stuff that was needed to be done around Grandpa and Grandma's farm, there was Billy doing all his and his sister's work. And finally, he just realized, you know, I would just as soon tell the truth. The punishment from Grandpa couldn't be any worse than what I was going through with my sister. He finally went to Grandpa and he said, "Grandpa, I didn't mean it, but when I came back from the woods, I was shooting my new slingshot and I shot one of your ducks. I am so sorry." Grandpa said, "I know. I saw the whole thing from the kitchen window. I was just wondering how long you were going to let your sister make a slave out of you." Isn't that the way sin does? It makes a slave out of us, doesn't it? You know, our lying imprisons us. Dishonesty imprisons us. Not only is it true that the truth will set you free in regards to honesty, but biblical points of truth liberate. Doctrinal truth sets us free. And that is the next subject I want to deal with, doctrinal truth. When you say, "I'm going to church," do you say, "I want to hear good doctrines"? When have you ever heard anyone say that? "I go to that church." Why? "Because I really like their doctrines." Have you ever heard anyone say that? "I love that church. They have the greatest doctrines." But you know what? That is the right answer. You should join a church because of the truth. My dad used to say to us boys, "I am so glad I found the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They seek for and have the truth." So many people go to a church for many various reasons. You wouldn't believe all the reasons that people join a church. Those are not the reasons. Their doctrines need to be the teachings of Jesus. That is why you go to a particular church. If you ask me why I am a Seventh-day Adventist, it is because of the teachings. We need to be who we are because of the doctrines of truth. 1 John 3:18, Jesus said, "My little children, let's not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Truthful theology leads to truthful love. You know, when the Bible says Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, it doesn't say people were amazed at his preaching, or that they were amazed at his performance. You know what it says? They were amazed at his doctrine. It was Jesus' doctrine that blew them away. His doctrine kept them spellbound all day long. The doctrines, the truth, liberates. Have you heard people say, "If there is a God and you are good, you go to heaven, but if you are bad, you go to hell and roast in a fire forever"? When you understand the truth, it liberates you. The truth will set you free. There are many false teachings out there. Abraham Lincoln used an illustration he used when arguing with his fellow politicians. He would say, "How many legs does the dog have?" They would answer, "Four legs." Then he would say, "Let's suppose we call the tail a leg. Then how many legs would a dog have?" They would say, "Five legs." He would say, "Wrong. Calling the dog's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. He can't run on it. He can't scratch with it. Thus, it is not a leg. People want to say we can call this person this or that, but it does not make it that just because we call it that. Let's change the semantics and we can change the truth." Well, the truth does not change. The truth abides still. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, it is not enough to know the truth. You need to obey the truth. Amen. John 17:19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified by the truth. Did you hear that? Sanctified by the truth. If Jesus is truth, and if Jesus is pure, if you follow Jesus, you will follow and obey the truth. You can't go through your life being beaten around like a ship without a rudder, blowing to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You need to put your house down on solid foundation, not on sinking sand. There is a time to be settled in the truth. John 8:44 says, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders who were his enemies. You are the father of the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Do you know why Lucifer fell? Because he did not abide in the truth. There is a time to be settled in the truth. You've got to be careful, wise as serpents, rightly divided in the truth, because sometimes the devil has a little bit of the truth. He has it corrupted by error. Someone said once, you can find a few vitamins in a garbage can. So do we go to get our vitamins from the garbage can? There is no truth in the devil, even if he mixes it with truth, because Jesus said there is no truth in him. He is the father of lies. People can never be settled in the truth. Or it says some people can never be settled in the truth. Some people can never recognize the truth because they do not have the Spirit of God. Christ says, if you are blind, your sins remain. You need to have your eyes open. Some people will never recognize the truth because they have rejected the truth. They have spent so much time rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they have come to a place where they feel they are going to be in the kingdom, but they believe sincerely a lie. Isn't that tragic? Another point, the truth does not morph to what we want it to be. It is absolute. The purpose of the gospel is to get us to change and to conform to the truth. Jesus told the Samaritan woman when he met her at the well that we must worship God in truth. Not knowing the truth makes it impossible for you to worship God the way that you should. Did you know that? A lot of people worship God in vain. They deny the power of God. Do you know what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman? He said, "You are from Samaria. I am a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews." Politically, that was not the right thing to say, we'd think today. What he should have said to her is, "You folks sincerely worship on Mount Gerizim," which is what they did. "We worship on Mount Jerusalem. We all get to heaven and love each other." Did he say that? No. He said, "You are wrong. Salvation is of the Jews." And then he said, "I am the Messiah." And the whole Samaritan town ended up believing Jesus because of her testimony. Then Jesus went on to tell her, "The hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God wants us to worship him how? It says he is seeking people to worship him in truth. They know who he is. Jesus came to reveal the Father. They know the truth. To worship him with that knowledge is the highest form of worship. And finally, with everything that we have talked about in the context of truth, Stand for the truth. God wants us to stand for the truth, not only be settled in the truth, but to stand for the truth. You know, in the last days, the real battle is going to revolve around what you believe and who you worship. In the last days, the battle is going to revolve around people who are willing to stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, rather than violate the commandments of God because they know it is the truth. God says, don't worship graven images. They stood up. They were willing to die. They stood for the truth. Everyone else on the plain of Dura was bowing down to the golden image. That was Thousands verses 3, wasn't it? They stood up. They stood up for the truth. Daniel stood for the truth when he knelt down before God and opened his windows. And in the last days, there are going to be religious laws that will challenge us regarding what we believe. We need to know what the truth is. The truth is substantial like a rock, and we need to be willing to build on that rock. Jesus said, "He that hears these words of mine and does them is building on a rock." Not he that hears the words and doesn't do them, but that does them. The rock in the Bible is something that is unchanging. God's law, the Ten Commandments, is in a rock, written by God's finger. The foundation of our faith is a rock. He does not change. Truth is absolute. Our job is to find out what truth is. Truth is in the Bible. It is God's word. Timothy said we need to know to study to show ourselves approved. We need to know what the truth is. We need to know how to give answers to someone who is looking for the truth. In Acts 7, Paul says, to search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Let me translate that for you. They measured what they heard to see if it was true by the Bible. How often? Daily. I think that that should be a pattern for us today. We need to open God's word and search the scriptures so that we can know the truth. How sad, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And he goes down in history, no doubt lost. What is truth? And he didn't think it mattered. Sarcastic, indifferent, and cynical about the truth. Nobody knows what the truth is. There is no absolute truth. That is the mantra of today. Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, there is truth. There are some things that we do not change. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word does not pass away. It stands forever. It is absolute truth. It does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you would like to know him better, he has given us a manual, the Bible, that is pure truth in it. And I would recommend this manual to you. Let's have our closing hymn, and then I'll have our prayer. Dear God, thank you for your Bible to guide our lives, to set us on the course for your kingdom, to give us the absolute truth, and we want to depend on it entirely and follow you till we meet you face to face in thy holy name. Amen.